While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And then turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead and eats without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup, the new covenant, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Well, Paul's not a happy camper here as he writes this letter to the church at Corinth. In fact, in most of the letters that Paul writes to the new churches in the empire, he takes opportunity for a teaching moment with them. He's got a tough job, you know, as you look back at his role, keeping the people in the way of the Lord and constantly working with them to keep them on track, to keep them focused on Christ. In this text, Paul has learned that the sacrament of communion, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the center of their worship, has veered off course, gone astray. They were not keeping their eyes on Jesus, and they had turned his sacrament into a mockery. And he reminds them, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Now, we need to remember that the early church celebrated Holy Communion differently than we do today. Then it was a whole meal. It was a part of every Lord's day. The people brought the elements for the table. There were signs way back in the early church of a good Methodist congregation. The problem was that the wealthy could arrive early. They didn't have to work as long. They had others to do what work they might have had to do. But the poor were the ones doing the work. They could not come early. And those who arrived early began the supper before all had arrived. Well, by the time the entire congregation had gotten together, some had eaten all the food. Others had found opportunity to drink all the wine. And there was then nothing left for the rest to partake of. The whole sacrament was being polluted. And so Paul writes to remind them of the significance of this great sacrament. Listen in on a conversation. See if it might have been set in the time of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Might it also have been overheard in a church today? "Why is your church here?" "Well, so I can come to church." "Well, why do you come to church?" "To worship God. To remember the blessings that he has given us? Do you come to fellowship with others? Do you come that we might be empowered by the Holy Spirit and strengthened by the fellowship of our fellow Christians? And the one responding says, "Oh, I come to church so I can be filled up." The questioner asks, "What for?" "Well, of course, so I can be a good Christian." "What for?" "Well, so I can feel good about myself." "What for?" "So I want to come to church more." "Well, let me understand this. You come to church in order to get filled up so that you can be a good Christian and feel good about yourself, and so that you want to come to church more." "Yes, you've got it." "There's more to you than that," Jesus offered. "If you'll follow me, I'll help you find it." Can you see the church in Corinth? People arriving early to worship, smiling, talking, carrying on. At first, someone might believe that they were happy to be coming to worship God and to remember the many blessings that He's poured out on them during the week. But as we watch a little longer, we find them really come to a party. No resemblance at all to the heavenly joy or peace and holy sacrament that Jesus left with them. Could Jesus have been talking to this church in Corinth instead of the Pharisees when He said, "Are you hypocrites? Are you the hypocrites that Isaiah talked about when he said, 'This people honors me, God, with our lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of humanity'? For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Holy Communion is one of two sacraments given to us directly by Jesus. Is the church today, we the people, really that much different than that church in Corinth that we read about in Paul's letter? I remember personally when I didn't like to be in church on that one Sunday each quarter when they were doing communion. It seemed that I always decided to be present for church on that Sunday. I mean, as far as I knew, they had communion every week. They surely had it every time I was present. I remember as I grew up and matured in body as well as in spirit, I began to attend, be present for church more often. I grew to look forward to those now rare Sundays when the Lord's Supper was served. Now don't confuse what I just said. Don't hear it wrong. We, my family, went to church every Sunday. But what I'm talking about here is that I began to attend, to participate in, to be present in other than just body. I began to understand what communion was really all about, what it really meant, why Jesus initiated it. And I found myself longing for the closeness of my Lord and Savior that I found when I was at His table. John Wesley had specific directions for the American Methodists. In his letter dated September 10th, 1784, his letter of instructions, he wrote, "I also desire to administer the supper of the Lord on every Lord's day." Now, some today would be for that because the preaching would be less. But others fear that the communion every Sunday would cause our time in worship, our time with God, to be lengthened so that we could allow for communion and sufficient reading and hearing of the Word. John Wesley considered communion as a means of grace, a time that we can place ourselves in the right position to receive God's grace. An outward sign, the elements of bread and wine serve as channels or instruments which funnel in God's grace. Communion is one of the ways God leads us, His people, into perfection by purging our sin and our sinful attitudes and growing His love within us. This powerful sacrament functions to represent the sufferings of Christ. It conveys the first fruits of these sufferings in present grace, and it assures us of the glory to come. Perhaps if the church at Corinth had our service for word and table, they possibly would have, well, avoided the problem that they found themselves in. For we are reminded before each celebration in the invitation that Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. The Lord's Supper gives us time to pause and accept the restorative power of God's grace. The Eucharist fellowship at the Lord's table is a foretaste of the glory which one day will become a full taste, when that perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality. To me, it's as though the Lord's Supper is a moment when the windows of heaven are thrown open wide, and as we look in, full of anticipation, a dazzling ray of heavenly light shoots forth and to flood and transform our inward lives. That's what's so beautiful to me, so emotional, so powerful about coming to the Lord's table for me. It's a chance, oh, even just for a moment, a flash in time, for me to be perfect in love. At that moment, I'm committing no sin, and all that I am and all that I want to be is loved by my Heavenly Father, forgiven of my sin, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in peace and grace, sharing his love with all I meet. Holy Communion is a special time for me. Let it be for you. Christ died for you and for me, and he was resurrected and instructed us to come, receive, eat. Do this in remembrance of me.